standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I now turn today's meeting over to Ms. Teresa DeCarlo. You may now begin.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I'm Teresa DeCarlo. I am the team lead on the web portal project, and what we'd like to do today is spend a little bit of time talking about the policy perspective of the web portal, which is represented in the regulation that is on our website, and then spend, you know, a larger amount of time talking about the technical specifications for data submission. But before I start talking, I'd like to first of all just thank AHIP and Blue Cross Blue Shield Association and ACHP for working with us to help push information out in the future after we begin this data collection process, in addition to working, you know, with these organizations who are, in my experience, is always incredibly helpful. We will be able to also communicate with you directly. We've spent a lot of time, you know, thinking through, you know, what it is that we want to do for this July 1 release, and I suspect that there's probably a fair amount of questions about what's coming down the pike for October 1, because for you all, the carriers, that's a much bigger lift than what we're talking about for July 1. And while I don't mind entertaining a few questions when we are in our question period about this, I can't overemphasize, I think, the importance of us trying for the immediate day to stay focused on what it is that you all are required to do for the July 1 release. Having said that, I also can't overemphasize the importance of your all's comments on our regulation and really encourage you, you know, to provide thoughtful comments to us, and the earlier the better. We're very serious about entertaining, you know, what your concerns are, what your suggestions are. So please, you know, use the opportunity the regulation affords to communicate your thoughts and concerns and ideas about what we've provided in the regulation. So with that, I'll start here with what it is that the web portal is intended to do, and that is to establish a website where individuals and small businesses in any given state can identify affordable health insurance coverage options. And I'll be referring to these laws as the Affordable Care Act as I go forward. You all know that that passed on March 23rd, and the portal is required by statute to be up and running July 1, and we intend to meet that date, and we won't be able to completely fulfill what the I think expectation is for the web portal, but hopefully we're making a good step, and then I think we'll be much farther along by October 1. You can see here on this slide where in the Code of Federal Register you can find the regulations concerning our specifications, but also the reg is up on our website. So I already mentioned, you know, that what we want to talk about today, you know, is sort of the purpose of the data request for July 1, and then to get through the technical specifications with you all. So the nature of the request is that we are looking basically to identify the universe of carriers who are operating in the individual and small group markets. And what we want identified is what we're referring to as product information, which if you read our reg is a different thing than plan information. It's really the group of, you know, benefits that are filed with the state. And, you know, to the extent that that's, you know, multiple filings or multiple benefit structures within a filing, you know, that's what we want you all to represent to us for July 1. October 1, what we'd be interested in is plan specific information. But again, today we're going to focus on what we mean by product. So in the individual and small group markets, frankly, regardless of, you know, how active you all are as a carrier in these markets, if you are, if you have, if the state has, you know, licensed you to provide these kind of products, then you're required to communicate with us and to provide information on the products that you've been approved or certified to provide. Again, in the individual and small group markets, and here we're only talking about major medical products. We're not talking about, like, specialized products, you know, dental, vision, things like that. We're also going to be collecting information about you so that consumers know how to reach your firm. And so when you complete this, and frankly, I'm thinking of my, you know, Medicare experience here in Medicare Part C and Part D. If you put a number in there that we post on the website and it's not sending consumers to your customer service, you know, place, you know, it'll be problematic for you and for us. So I just can't overemphasize that what we're looking for here is information that you want consumers to use. But then we'll also be asking you for contact information for our own technical purposes. So these, I presume, will be different numbers for you all, and we'll need to know how to identify you all or contact you on both fronts. One of the things that, you know, we're interested in your identifying at the product level is what we're referring to as benefits at a glance or the brochure that is associated with that product. And we don't want to collect that information. What we want to do is identify a link to that brochure. And we also want a link to your provider network. And I'm jumping around here on this slide. You'll need at the product level to also identify what the geographic service area is for that product. This is the timeline. What we have here is today's training, and the help desk opened today. The next slide has the address for how to access and the phone number, the helpline. And on Monday, the 10th, you all will, that's the day due, understanding from our point of view who it is that is going to be providing information to us. We need to identify that person and make sure that they've got the necessary access information so that you all can actually access the system. Data entry begins on May 12th, and the deadline for all the data entry is on May 21st. Anna Nunez-Poole, she'll be starting in a few minutes here. She'll talk about what's happening between May 1st and July 1. And with that brief introduction, I think what I'd like to do is spend a few minutes taking a couple of questions, you know, to the extent that there are any at the policy level, and then there'll be question and answers at the end of this session as well. So, operator, if we could take a few questions, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer period. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted, for your name is required to introduce your question. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. One moment, please, for our first question. First question comes comes from Bruce Anderson. Go ahead.
Yes, two questions. One, how are you defining the small business group size?
Small business group size, you know, of course, the statute has, you know, definition of 1 to 50, and that in 2016, folks are required to adopt the definition of 1 to 100. But we understand that states don't necessarily today fit into the 1 to 50 definition. So for the July release, our expectation is for you all to submit the products in the small group market as your state defines it.
Great, thank you. I have a second question. In California, we have a Knox-Keene license plan that does not have an NAIC number. What identifying number should we use?
Do you want to talk about that now, or you're going to go through it, right? Okay, do you mind if we talk about that during our technical presentation?
Great, thank you very much.
Sure, good question.
Next question comes from Virginia DeToro. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, you explained the brochure that's going to be a link and that's how you want the data submitted on that. What exactly are you looking for the policy filings that we submit to the state? Are you also looking for that to be on a link, or are you just looking for entries?
Yeah, you know, we're going to, you know, hopefully this will get clear to you when we go through the technical specifications. You know, our expectation is basically that you're enumerating these and providing the information that we're requesting, and then, you know, you've got the unique brochure that maps, you know, from that. So we are not collecting filings.
Okay, so you're linking our forms to our brochures, basically, our form numbers to our brochures.
Right, and so you'll need to call, you know, each one of these benefit packages something, yes.
Okay, I do have a second question. How is the definition of major medical defined? Is it a comprehensive plan, just basic hospital surgical plans, or all?
It's not hospital surgical plans. It's comprehensive.
So if our company does a majority of just hospital surgical plans, or pretty much everything hospital surgical, we're not required to do the data set?
If that's the only business that you do, that's correct.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Teresa Gallinero. Go ahead.
Actually, my question was answered. I had a question about the small business group size. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Roger. Go ahead, Roger.
Yes. We have individual plans, but they haven't been marketed for 8 years. Seems like the later information, request information on those plans. There's no brochures. We're not selling. Why are we being asked to include information like that if we are?
It's our intention to represent, well, actually to collect the universe of products, and then we're asking you whether they're open or not. We have an interest in knowing what the universe of products are that could be sold in your market. So to the extent that your arrangement with the state still is open, that you could sell those products, then we want you to enumerate those for us. And then you're asked a question, which will go through the technical, you know, specifications about whether they're open or not. But our intention with our work with the state as well as with you all to identify what the universe of products are. And universe of products, meaning major medical in the individual and small group market.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alan Schaefer. Go ahead.
Hi. You say that the login information needs to be sent on by Monday or before Monday?
The on April 30th and or May 3rd, a memo went out to you all asking you to submit an email address and some contact information so that we could get you registered and logged in for the system. We would like to have that information by COB Monday the 10th.
Okay, thank you. And if I can, just one other thing. You say you want by geographic location, state, county, and zip code. If you have a situation where zip code spans counties but you're only authorized for the product in one county, not the other, is county level sufficient?
We're actually on the form, and you know, maybe shortly I'll be able to go through the details a little bit and preemptively answer some of these questions. But if your product is available in the entire state, you'll be able to indicate that. If it is not available in the entire state, we're asking you to complete the third tab, which is entering the zip codes that product is offered in. I know that there are situations where a zip code may cross county lines, so we'll have to address that on the portal, but essentially we're not asking you for county information. It's either the entire state, and if it's not the entire state, then the list of zip codes.
Right, and so what I think you need to do in that instance is, to the extent that there's a zip code that falls into another county, that you should be providing that zip code.
Because we have products where we're only authorized to sell it for half of the zip code. The zip code that's within a specific county.
I understand.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Kaminsky from Presbyterian. Go ahead.
Actually, you answered our question already. It was about the group size, the small group size limit.
One moment, then. Julie Williams, go ahead.
Thank you. I had a question regarding the product level, how detailed. So, like, say if we have a PPO product, and within that we have maybe five offerings with different deductibles, do you want just the one overall PPO product, or do you want us to list out separately each specific benefit level option?
How many different brochures do you have for that?
We have one that encompasses all of it.
Okay. So we want you to represent that product once and link to the brochure.
Okay, and thank you. And just again to clarify on the question related to products that we no longer offer for new sale, but there might be people still in the market that are enrolled in them.
Yes.
You do want those included?
Yes. We are looking for the universe. And when you answer the question open for enrollment, that means that you're open for enrollment. It's not a question about do you already have enrollment.
Okay, and then just as the previous person said, we may not have links to brochures and things for those.
I think you need to do the best job you can to be responsive. And, you know, I'm just telling you that it's a requirement that you give us a link to the brochure.
For all non-actively sold products?
That is the requirement.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Karen Early. Go ahead.
Yes, I have two questions. One, I'm just following up to clarify. We have quite, probably as other insurers do, quite a number of products that for whom we have active enrollment, although it is less than 1% of our membership because there are just a few members in it. We've closed those products. We no longer sell them. So there are people in them. They are being serviced, but they are not being sold. And we do not have marketing materials for them, because as soon as those people phase out into another product, all the people are gone, and we will not. We'll, basically, the product will be done. In that case, I'm not sure what we need to do.
Sure. So, and you know, the risk of sounding like I don't get what you're saying. We're looking for the universe. We're looking for a link to the brochure, and you'll be identifying whether it's open for enrollment or not. But we are interested in any of the products that you can sell in. So that would include the products that you're describing where you've got a few people in. Now, for the October 1 submission, when you're going to be submitting benefits and pricing information, that is a time when this 1% definition comes into play, and I can talk about that, you know, if I get a question, you know, about that, a follow-up question. But for purposes of products, we're looking for the universe and the a link to the brochure associated with that.
All right, and then my follow-up question is regarding the email address to which we were supposed to submit our names that we want to have by Monday. We do not have that. How would I obtain the information? We did not receive the email that had the information about how to get the log on. How would we go about getting it?
You can go to it looks like I'm locked up here. It's the next slide on the presentation. It sounds like maybe you're not logged into the webinar. Is that right?
No, we are logged into the webinar. The slide just changed.
Okay. All right. So you can call that number or you can call this email address, and you can ask for those materials to be sent to you and somebody will get them to you right away.
Thank you.
Also, we're posting information on our website, although I think that you will probably – some of the information you may actually be able to get faster through this connection than on the website.
Thank you.
Sure.
Next question comes from Jeff Cooper. Go ahead.
Yes, we distribute our small group products either directly or through a broker channel or through chambers of commerce and associations. And I understand the first two, but the chambers and associations, do we need to report those products also?
And let me see if I understand the question. I mean, are those products or any of those products that you distribute through chambers and associations, I mean, are they filed with the state?
They are filed with the state, but you have to have some sort of affiliation with either the chamber or the association to access those products.
And so these would be in the small group market?
They are filed as small group products.
Right, yes. We want to know the answer to those questions. And I think we should have a follow-up conversation about, you know, possibly by October that we would maybe want to understand this distinction. I mean, it helps us to know that basically they wouldn't be products that you intend to sell to everybody is the point, right?
They're limited to those small groups who have an affiliation with either the chamber or the association.
So we do want them. I understand what the issue is, and we'll go back and look at refining that potentially for October.
Okay. And then a follow-up question is, we have base plans, which are comprehensive medical, but they can be changed by riders, and those riders affect anything from full-time student and dependent ages
right.
to same-sex partners, to skilled nursing facility days, to therapy days.
Right.
Do you want every combination and permutation of base plan and rider?
What we want is the base plan, which I'm calling the product, and it's a different answer for October 1 when you're submitting plan information, which then, to my way of thinking, is a permutation of the way those different pieces can fit together.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question then comes from Dee Otley. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, I just I had one of my questions answered, but I just wanted to reiterate about zip codes. We actually, in one of our counties, it's split by a route, and we can only sell inside Route 123 versus outside. So we can't sell in the whole county, just a piece of the county.
Right. So you should still represent the zip code, and, you know, I just understand that, you know, I mean, there are people on this team that, because of our Medicare Part C and Part D business, like, we totally get what you're talking about.
Okay.
And we're going to have to work through the representation of that, but I understand what your concern is. Operator, I think we better go to the technical discussion, and then I'd like, you know, we're hoping to have a lot of time at the end of this presentation to answer any questions, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. I'd like to introduce Ana Nunez-Poole. Ana comes from CMS, and for the carriers on the line that are in Medicare Part D and Part C business, she is, you know, a key player in the development and maintenance of our information management system for those programs. So she comes to this piece of work with an enormous amount of experience in designing data collection and management systems for information. And I thank you very much, Ana, for being on our team, and I'll turn this conversation over to you.
Great. Thank you, Therese. Yes, my name is Anna Nunes Poole, and I want to walk through a couple of things with you today at a high level. I want to talk to you about the timeline for your data submission and validation between now and the July 1st release of the data on the web portal. I am going to walk through some of the details of how you will complete your data submission and send it to us. And I will give you some additional resources for assistance because all of us are working under very tight time frames to get this data in efficiently and accurately as possible. So as I mentioned earlier, a memo has gone out. Some of you have received it. Some of you may not have. And, you know, we've given you contact information, and we'll reiterate that again for how you can get a copy if you haven't already. But the user access memo that went out either on April 30th or May 3rd essentially gave you instructions to contact this insurance oversight at hhs.gov website or email address with some basic contact information about you and your company so that we can get you registered appropriately so that when we are receiving data submissions from you and we do give you access to our system to validate your data, we'll have you all set up and ready. So please, if you have received that memo, get your information in by the end of Monday. And if you haven't, please contact the help avenues that we're providing today to get that information so you can turn it around and get it to us. Next week, you will be receiving the actual Excel template that you will be completing and submitting to us by May 21st. It is a fancy Excel spreadsheet, for lack of a better word, because it is not simply an Excel spreadsheet, but it is a template with validation rules built in and the ability to validate as you enter so that it is easy to see where you may have missed entering some data or where we're expecting a different type of data in the field that you've entered. And you will, and I'm going to go into detail about this, but you will have an opportunity to make sure your submission is complete before you send it to us, so that hopefully the transmission will be as seamless as possible. Once you have completed this Excel template, which you will receive next week, and submitted it to us, to the Health Insurance Oversight System, after May 21st, you will be able to log on to the Health Insurance Oversight System and validate how your data looks. So you will submit the data to us on this template. We will load it into the system, and then we will give you the opportunity after May 21st to see what it looks like, to make sure there are no typographical errors, you know, a misplaced phone number or a name spelled incorrectly or a website address that may be broken. So you will have an opportunity to validate what you have submitted to us to make sure that it is completely accurate before we pass the data to the web portal to be displayed to the public on July 1st. When you receive the memo next week, you'll receive a memo explaining pretty much what we're talking about today. In addition, you will receive an Excel template which has three tabs, and that's what I'm going to be going over today. And you will receive a comprehensive technical user instruction guide, and that walks you through exactly how to use this Excel template, how to complete it, how to validate it before even submitting it to the system, which, like I said, hopefully will make things more efficient timing-wise for all of us involved. The system's requirements for using this template is that you must be using Microsoft Excel 2003 or greater. Depending on whether you're using Excel 2003 or Excel 2007, you will need to enable macros on Excel 2003 or disable macros with notification on Excel 2007. In the detailed technical users guide, the instructions template that will be coming to you with the memo and the Excel template, it walks you through step by step with screenshots if you are not familiar with Excel and how to enable and disable macros. It walks you through step by step how to complete this process to make sure that your version of Microsoft Excel is set up appropriately to be able to use this template, validate the data before you even submit it to us. As I stated before, the Excel template that you will receive has three tabs. The first tab is general information about your company, and I'll walk through each of those in a minute, the details of each data element that we're collecting under that tab. The second tab is information about your products. As Therese has talked about earlier, how we've defined products, you will be providing certain key elements to us for each of the products that you are licensed to offer in your state. And then the third tab is where we get into the geographic coverage for your products, and I will go into that in a little more detail as well. So, again, the Excel template has three tabs. You will need to complete the first tab about your company, the second tab about your products, and if your products are not offered in the entire state, you will need to complete tab three, which will describe the geographic coverage of those products. On screen, you will see, for those of you who have access to the webinar and are watching the presentation online as well, you will see the first tab, which is the issuer general information. We are asking information, obviously, about your insurer name, your federal EIN or taxpayer ID code. And then there was a question earlier, which I wanted to make sure to address. We are asking for your NAIC company code and NAIC group codes. If you do not have one of those, you may leave it blank. They are optional fields, and you will be able to pass validation and submit your data without those. But if you do have an NAIC company code and an NAIC group code, then you are required to fill out those cells in the template. At the top, we're still at the general kind of corporate information. We're asking, obviously, for the state, so you will submit one template for each state. If you are an issuer that is going to be completing this data entry for your products in multiple states, you will need to complete one template per state. So for this template, you will complete it for one state and then indicate whether you have products in the individual market, the small group market, or both. So that's sort of the general information that we're asking for at the top of tab one. Then we're asking for information, just general address information and phone number information for your company. We have broken it out because of the way the portal is going to differentiate between the products in the individual market and the products in the small group market. You will be able to provide us information that is different for each of those markets. So if you have customer service phone numbers that are just for your individual market products and then a separate customer service phone number that's for your small group market products, you will be able to enter those. For website addresses, the same thing. If you have a product that is in your individual market and you have a separate website for that versus what's in your small group market, you will be able to indicate that. So you'll see the questions look duplicative, but it's because if you're offering products in both markets, you will have to complete, you'll have the opportunity to complete that information for both markets. Obviously, if you're only in the individual, you only need to fill out that set of data, or if you're only in the small group, you'll be able to fill it out just for the small group. The rating information is also on this first tab, and that is giving you the opportunity to explain for us which companies, such as Standard & Poor's and companies like that, have rated you and your products, and within the last 2 years is how it's defined. So if you've had a rating done by these companies within the last 2 years, you'll be able to indicate which company has rated you, what the rating is for, whether it was sort of an overall rating, whether it was a financial rating, a quality rating, and then what that rating is. We do have some drop-downs and validations and standard ways to describe the type of rating and the rating companies, but in terms of the rating themselves, because we know that there is some variation and, you know, some companies use ABC, some companies use number of stars, you will be able to complete whatever makes sense for that rating, that company, and that type. And that is essentially what you will be completing on tab one about you as an issuer in your company. And I'm walking through the screens a little bit differently than you see here. Each field, as you complete it, each field is marked as either required or optional. So as you click on each cell that you need to complete, you'll know if it's a required or an optional field, as well as all of this being defined in the technical user instructions. But it's online as you complete it. You'll be able to know whether the cell is required or optional. And some of the fields are conditional. So if you say, yes, I have a website in both my small group and individual market, then the website addresses for those two cells will be required. So the Excel template is not simply an Excel template. It does have some validation already built in so that it'll be easier for you to complete as you walk through it. The second tab in the Excel file is where we are collecting the product information. and walking through the screen left to right, the first thing you will complete is the product name. And we know there is variation to how you describe the product, but it's a simple text box that you can enter the product name. The enrollment code and group number is an optional field. We know some issuers code their products a certain way, and some do not have sort of standard enrollment code. So that is an optional field. If you do track your products that way, please complete that column. If not, it is optional and you don't need to. In terms of product type, it is a drop-down box, so you will select one of the standard entries, whether it's an HMO, a PPO, an EPO, a fee-for-service type product. So that is a drop-down that you will select from one of the standard variables within that field. We do have an other. We are not expecting to see a lot of others, but if there is a product as defined and explained in the reg that does not fit neatly into one of these categories, we give you the opportunity to describe what that other is. We are collecting the product enrollment in the next column, so that's pretty self-explanatory. Again, there will be one row for each product and each product in the individual or small group market. So the next column is where you will indicate if this particular product that you're describing is one that's offered in the individual or small group market. And then the next three columns are where we're collecting the specific website addresses, the one that links to your brochure, the Benefits at a Glance brochure, one that links to your provider network, and one that links to your formulary. So there are three website addresses that we're looking for each of your products, and this is where you fill this out. The next column is where we indicate if the product is offered in the entire state or not. It's a drop-down box, simple yes or no. If it's yes, you don't need to complete tab three and you would be done. If you say no, it is not offered in the entire state, then the Excel template will not let you complete the submission until you've completed tab three, which indicates which zip codes that product is offered to. And you'll be able to map based on the product ID, okay, product number two, these are the zip codes that this product is offered in, product number six, these are the zip codes that this product is offered in. So, again, tab three, you only need to complete if your products are not offered in the entire state. And then the last column on the second tab, and I'll ask Therese to jump in with some additional information if required, but that's where we're asking the, you know, if this product is not available for open enrollment and other definitions, as Therese can explain, this is where we want you to indicate that this is a product that is, you know, open and active or not, and then that will help us determine the additional information that we're collecting in October for each of your products. And I will let Therese explain that a little bit more as soon as I finish walking through some of the details of the template. So as you complete these two or three tabs, depending on your geographic coverage situation, as you're completing the Excel template, you will be able to click on a button that says Validate. It is at the top of each of these tabs. As you work through, if you don't, and we highly recommend that you do it as you're completing your data entry and not wait till the end, click on that Validate. You will see red circles around any cells that there are any issues with your data. Either it's a required field that you have forgotten to complete, or it is a conditional field that you answered yes to a question prior and didn't complete the next step, or if there is something not quite right about the way that you completed your data. So it'll be very easy for you to see as you're completing this template if you're missing something or if something needs to be corrected before you save it and submit it to us. We tried to build in as much validation as possible up front so that you know when you're ready to submit your data, it is complete, it's accurate, and there will be less time taken up back and forth between you and us to make sure your data is accurate before July 1. Once you have walked through and done all the validation and you've looked at all the red circles that indicate something needs to be corrected in your Excel file, there's another button at the top of each of the worksheets called Validate and Finalize. You need to finalize the Excel template. Once you've completed all of the data entry and have gotten rid of all the red circles indicating there's an error, and once you hit that Validate and Finalize, it'll give you one last opportunity to see if there are any errors or corrections that need to be made, and then it will save a finalized version of this Excel template where you have stored this Excel file. So you'll have an Excel file, you'll be working through it, you'll be validating it, making corrections, making sure everything's complete. Once you hit finalized, it's going to save a copy of this file with a specific name, and that is the version that you need to submit to us. You need to submit to us the finalized version without altering the name of the file so that the submission can be unloaded and put into our database so that you'll be able to validate it before it goes live over to the web portal. And as you see on the slide here, we are highly reminding you and emphasizing to you, as well as in the user instructions, that you have to submit the finalized file without altering the name of that file for us to process it. If you try to submit a working copy, if you try to change the name of the file before you submit it to us, it will be kicked back to you. You will be getting emails from us saying that we can't accept the submission. So please pay attention to this, and please pay attention to the technical instructions that go over this so that we can get a clean submission from you without a lot of back and forth. Next steps. Okay, so you've completed the data entry, you've finalized your file, you've submitted your finalized version to us. As I mentioned before, after May 21st, you will be able to go online to the Health Insurance Oversight System and validate the data that you have submitted to make sure that there are no typos, to make sure that everything is pulled correctly from the Excel file into the system. You will have the opportunity to do that. One of the key pieces, I apologize, one of the key pieces that I forgot to mention, in the template that you are submitting on that general information tab, in the very first tab, there are data submission and data validation contacts for your company. The data submission contact, obviously, is the person who is completing this template. The data validation contact is who do you want in your company to go into the Health Insurance Oversight System to validate and make sure your data looks good before it goes over to the web portal on July 1st. Hopefully, we will have already received your user access information by May 10th, which is what we have requested. But if there is an additional person at your company that needs to be able to have access to the system in order to validate the data, then that is where you put that contact information. We'll pull it from the Excel file, send you additional information with user IDs and passwords, and then that data validation contact within this Excel file will then get access to the Health Insurance Oversight System to validate, to make sure that your data looks good before it goes over to the web portal on July 1st. In the future, because of the tight time frames that we've all had to operate under, this is the most efficient way to get the data from you and into our system. In the future, over the summer, we will have the opportunity for you not only to review and see what your data looks like online in the Health Insurance Oversight System, but if there are changes in phone numbers or typos or things like that, you will be able to do editing directly online within the system, and we won't have to have you complete or revise your Excel file in order to submit it to the system. You'll be able to log on directly, make those corrections and tweaks, and then the information will be updated monthly on the web portal. Access to the system, as I mentioned before, you should have received the memo. If you haven't, please contact our help desk and they will get it out to you. We really, because of the tight time frames, we really encourage you to submit as quickly as possible so that we can get your users registered and additional information out with user IDs and passwords and instructions on how to log into the system well before that May 21st deadline so that you guys will have the full opportunity to submit and validate your data. The contacts that are listed in the Excel template that you provide to us will be granted access to the system, and we will be communicating with them directly with user IDs and passwords and instructions. The last slide reiterates some of what Therese had mentioned before. We do have a help desk up and running now. There are two ways to contact it. This slide contains the email address, insuranceoversight@hhs.gov, but there is also a phone number on one of the previous slides, and that is operational as of this morning. So you can contact them with information about getting copies of the memos, getting copies of the templates, and any user access issues that you may have once the system is up and running. So, and as I mentioned, just to go over the timeline one more, you should be receiving the memo, the technical instructions, and the template mid to late next week. and the submission deadline is May 21st. So I think at this point, Therese, is there anything you want to say before we open it up for Q&A?
I think that we'll just take questions. Thank you very much, Anna.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. Then we will now begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, once again, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To withdraw your request, press star 2. One moment, please, for our first question, which is from Karen Early. Go ahead, Karen.
I have sort of a two-part question. When it comes to membership on the enrollment tab and the product tab, do you want members or contracts?
Are you talking about product enrollment?
Yeah, product enrollment. Do you want members or contracts?
What I'm talking about is, for example, in small group market, it's how many people as opposed to how many employers. Is that the question you're asking?
No. When we have members, we might have one contract, even in small group, one employee, but the employee might have three dependents.
Right.
That would be one contract, but four members.
Right. We're interested in the total membership.
Okay. Membership, not contracts. Okay. And the other question is enrollment by what date? As of what date? December 31st, 2009 or first quarter of 2010?
Yeah. I think it's a great question, and we did not clarify this, either one of these questions.
No, you didn't.
Because most people, work on a quarter basis, and, we may modify this for the future, but I think maybe the way to do this, since this is May, is that it would be at the end of the first quarter of 2010. So that would be as of March 31.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from John Halverson. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question on Worksheet 3, the geographic coverage worksheet. Are we going to be able to cut and paste in that worksheet?
Yes, for the zip codes, you will be able to. So if you have it stored somewhere else, you'll be able to cut and paste.
Exactly. And one other question on the term market coverage. What's intended for that column, for market coverage?
You'll have a drop-down box so you can indicate whether it's the individual or small group market.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Terry from Presbyterian. Go ahead.
I think I missed the first part of this question, but what does the enrollment code mean?
The enrollment code and group number column, like I stated, is optional. I know we talked about this, and different insurers kind of enumerate their products different ways. But in, the FEHBP world for us, some companies have like a J51 versus a J52 that distinguish between the self plan and the family plan. So if you have a code that you use to enumerate your products that means something to you, that's where you would list that enumeration.
I think I have product codes. There's no limit on the amount of fields we could, or how many positions that field is?
No, there is. Let me...
That's a loser.
There, it's a 10-character field.
I'm sorry?
10-character field in the enrollment code group number.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from, I think it's Beth Kitt from Blue Cross. Is that correct?
It's Pitt.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. If we are statewide except for one county, can we... do an exception type thing, or do we have to say no and list all the zip codes?
All the zip codes.
And then the second one is our association business is filed as a large group product, so I'm assuming based on that earlier question and comment that we would not include our associations in this.
You need to provide to us the products that the state recognizes as small group.
Okay, thank you. And then if you have multiple companies, including multiple companies within the same state, do we get access by company name, or do we just get access and we do multiple spreadsheets based on the companies?
Do those companies each have their own license? I presume they do.
Yes, they do.
Right. So it's the licensed entity that is required in the regulation by law to report to us. Now, you could have, you know, the same person across all those licensed entities, but to us, in our system, you will look like separate carriers, and your information will be segmented by carrier.
So I don't have the memo that was requested for the contact name. So should I, in sending my email, indicate that I have these four company names and I have a single contact?
Yes, and you will need to complete one template per company per state. So if you have, if you're associated with four different companies in a state, you will be submitting four templates to us.
Okay, thank you. And then it is, like, if I gave my name as a contact, but I'm not going to be the one filling out the spreadsheet, I think I got that I really shouldn't be giving you my name. I should be giving you somebody else's name.
I think that people are going to be busy with this, as will we. And my experience is you should put somebody's name in there who's going to be accountable for working with us.
Okay, who's going to put the data into the...
Well, basically, really, who, you know, yeah. I mean,
and there are two separate types of contacts that we're collecting within the template. One is called the data submission, one's called the data validation. So the person who's actually completing the worksheet and sending it to us is the data submission contact. Maybe you're the data validation contact, or maybe that's someone else in your company. But whoever you want to have access to the system to validate that what was submitted is accurate. So you have two opportunities to list contacts there.
Okay.
As well as backups for each of them.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Beth Fleming. Go ahead.
Thank you, Therese. Welcome to this, outside of Part C&D, welcome to this area. Wanted to clarify, I understand your difference between the July 1 and the October 1 deadlines.
Sure.
That makes perfect sense. So will we be given an opportunity to remove plans by October 1 that we plan to sunset at the end of 2010?
Well, not if you're sunsetting them at the end of the year, but if you're going to sunset them before October 1, yes.
But they, if they're sunset and they won't be sold for 2011, you still want them included by the October 1 deadline?
Right.
And when will we have an opportunity to update that data then for 2011?
Well, you can do an update every month.
Okay.
What we're requiring is an annual update. We haven't figured out yet what our annual year is, like what it falls on. And then in the reg, there are some rules about, you know, if a product that didn't used to be open for enrollment now becomes open for enrollment, that you have to submit that plan information. We're talking about October 1 now for the people who are on the telephone, so we're not talking about requirements that have to do with the July 1 submission. Now what we're talking about is plan submission data. And so if you've got plans that are not, and again, I just cannot overemphasize, I am talking about the world of October 1 right now, not July 1. And I'm talking about plans, not products. In July 1, you all are submitting products. So in October 1, when you're submitting plan benefit and pricing information, you'll be submitting that for products that are open and for enrollment. And to the extent that a product's not open, you don't report the plan information to us, but again, if it opens, you know, within 30 days, then you have to submit that information within 30 days, excuse me, is what I meant. Same thing about if the pricing changes, then you need to submit that information. Basically, the time the information, the pricing changes. Maybe this is a time just to take a minute to talk about the definition that is in the regulation about plans. And again, for everybody on the phone, I am talking about October 1 when you all have to submit
benefit and pricing information, and this concerns plans. This has got very little to do with the July 1 submission. So we have a definition in the regulation that we refer to as all, and what that definition means, and it is defined as this in the reg, that in the individual market, and now what I'm going to say also pertains for the small group market. So in the individual market, you would have to provide to us, as a minimum, the plans, and think of that as some permutation of, you know, your benefit structure, your cost-sharing arrangements. You know, there may be different rate tables that, you know, apply to, you know, sort of different caveats. Basically, the permutation of a particular product, if it represents, in a particular zip code, at least 1% of the total enrollment in the individual small group market. And then the same definition applies in the, did I just say individual market? And then the same applies in the small group market. So theoretically, if you don't have plans, I'm just going to stick with the individual group market for a moment. If you don't have plans that are ever more than 1% of your enrollment, you would be submitting to us as many as 100. I suspect that most folks have certain permutations of plans that represents most of their enrollment, and so you go back from there, so then that's less than 100. And then obviously if there's a service area overlap, you know, you may wind up with more than 100, but that probably, you know, God won't say whether it happens often or not. So I'd be happy to take any more questions about that if people have them. But I want to know, did I just answer your question?
Yes, ma'am, you did. Thank you.
Our next question then comes from Kristen Lewis. Go ahead.
I have a couple of questions. My first question has to do with the May 12th deadline. Just want to make sure that I'm clear on what we need to deliver. So you are looking for an email from a senior executive with at least a couple of contact names, one, the name of the person who will be submitting, and a second name, or maybe it's the same person who will be validating the information. That is what you're looking for by email, one email by the by close of business on May 10th?
On May 10th, correct. So really the May 10th deadline, we need that data submission contact. Within the Excel spreadsheet, you can complete the second contact, which is the data validation contact.
Okay, so and you want that to come from a senior executive?
Yes.
Okay. And then the second question I had has to do with grandfathered plans, plans that are closed for all purposes. We're a guaranteed issue state, so we need to grandfather some of our products, but they are not being actively marketed or sold. Do we have to include these plans?
So I'm just going to be, I think from this point going forward, in our conversations, we're going to need to always be really careful about whether we're talking about products or plans. And for the July 1 submission, we're talking about products. And it's our expectation that you provide to us the universe of products that the state allows you to sell, whether you are selling them or not, but allows you to sell today in the individual and small group markets.
Okay, that clarification is helpful. Thank you.
Next question comes from Dunn Whitland. Go ahead.
We got on worksheet 2 with the product information, there are situations where we have multiple networks in a state, so you may have two products in, say, five networks. Is your expectation that you would see 10 lines on that product tab, or would you expect two lines with multiple networks listed in the website address, et cetera, et cetera?
You know, to be perfectly honest with you, I just didn't hear your question. Could you please read, please?
Yeah, sure. We have a lot of states where we have more than one provider network.
Yes.
And so on the product information tab,
Yes.
Would you, if you have two products and five networks, would you be expecting 10 lines filled in, or would you be expecting two lines filled in with multiple networks in the website address?
How is it filed with the state?
We don't file networks with the state.
So it's represented as one product?
Yep.
Yes.
But there are five provider networks, for example, that might be available with that particular product.
Is there a website address that links to the five different networks?
There would be a website address. Well, we would have five individual website addresses, I guess what I'm saying.
I have to tell you, I know what I want my answer to be.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's the right answer. How many brochures do you have associated with that product?
We would only have one brochure. I mean, basically, you would offer, you know, as the offering goes out to the employer groups, you would say, here's the product, here's the brochure that goes with it, and we have, you know, five networks that we rent. So go look at these five websites and determine which network you would prefer to link up with the product that we're selling you.
Who is this?
This is Trustmark.
I don't want to give you an answer.
Okay.
Okay. I think we should talk about this and get back to you. Would you be willing to send me an email? And I want to explore this further, and then we'll get an answer to this question out to everybody, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, so the way you reach me is Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A,
dot
DeCaro, D-E-C-A-R-O,
okay,
at CMS,
dot
HHS,
okay,
dot G-O-V.
All right.
And, you know, can you put in the subject line something that's going to remind me of this? Like, you know, from webinar, you know, question or something like that. So I'm looking out for you, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, all right, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Our next question then comes from Deb Trost. Go ahead.
Hello, thank you. Can you please describe what you're looking for in the product ID, the first column that's not in the that's not boxed in on worksheet 2?
Again, that is an opportunity for you to show us the way you enumerate your products.
So that's optional, similar to the enrollment code and group number?
Correct.
Okay, great.
If you all don't give us a number, we're going to give you a number. And because we will be tracking this.
Right. We'll be assigning a number, but if you have a product number, you should be providing us how you enumerate that product number.
Okay. Are the website address fields optional? For example, if we have a sunsetted product that someone else described earlier that does not have a brochure, can you not put a link in because it wouldn't link to anything?
Well, our expectation is, frankly, that we want access to the brochures, so we do want a link.
But if there is not one?
We want you to, you know, create something that allows us to link to that.
But this would be for a situation, as someone else described, where we have one customer in an individual product that was sunsetted a decade ago.
I understand.
Okay. Similar question on the formulary. We have products for which formulary is irrelevant.
The formulary website address field is optional.
Okay.
The provider network and brochure benefits at a glance one are required.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Virginia Latro. Go ahead.
I'm thinking they said Virginia Latro. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. We actually had the same question that Tom is, and we'd like it if he could carbon copy. Not really. We'll go ahead and email Teresa the same thing. We're needing his answer.
Okay, and where are you from?
Health Markets.
I'm sorry. Can you tell me your name again?
Virginia Latro.
Your firm's name?
Come again?
What is your firm's name?
Health Markets.
Oh, Health Market. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Then our next question comes from Mary Bann. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a question about these website links. We, our company does not sell directly to the individuals in the market. Instead, we sell through brokers. And therefore, our website is not open to the members of the public. You have to be a registered user in order to link to our website, and I want to know what we do in that situation.
I think you need to create a mechanism so that your brochures can be linked to. I mean, I appreciate the point that you're making. I mean, I really do. I get it. But, you know, I think that the intent of the statute is that the public has access to information on all the products that are being sold, regardless of how you sell them.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Jody Johnson. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for all the information you're providing today. We really appreciate it. I have a question about the product information worksheet, the very last column. So if we have a closed product, this is where you want us to indicate that the product is closed or open. I'm not understanding what that last column is for.
That last column is where you would indicate that you are opting out of phase two, which to us means the October 1st release. So that is where you would indicate, yes, I am opting out because this product is not open for enrollment.
So yes means that you have a closed product, and no means that you would have a product that you're currently selling.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question then comes from Cindy Otley. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I just need to get really clear about what you mean by product and plan. Because when you talked about the plan, you talked about the benefit structure and the cost sharing, which to me sounds like what your deductibles are and your coinsurance. So if we have a product, PPO, but then we have 100 different permutations of deductible and coinsurance and copay, just for May 21st, you're just looking for the product PPO?
That is correct. For the May 21st deadline, we're looking at that product PPO level.
Excellent.
Operator, can you hold the next question, please, just a second?
Yes.
Just a moment, folks. We'll be right back with you. Thank you, operator. We'll proceed now.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jody Epsley. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I'm trying to get some clarification on the reference number in tab 3 next to the zip code.
That is a system-generated number to help us link. So as you're completing the product information on tab 2, let's say you submit 20 products to us, and it's really only product 4 and product 20 that are not offered in the whole state. that is what helps us link and say, okay, it's really product line 4 in tab 2 that is offered in these zip codes and product 20 in, you know, tab 2 that these zip codes in tab 3 are associated with.
Okay, great. And it's system generated?
Yes.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the Kenshaw Group. Go ahead. You have an open line.
Did you say Rick Henshaw?
I thought you said Kenshaw Group. Sorry, sir. Go ahead. You have an open line, yes.
Okay. Thank you. And I know you've been presented this question multiple times, but when folks are asking about closed plans or sunsetted plans, in the state of Washington's eyes, when we do not sell a plan any longer, we do not market them. These are, in the state's eyes, plans that we may have existing members on that we do not sell any longer. They do not allow us to sell them. So I know you've been asked this question before, but are you still want that information in the universe? Because in the state's eyes, we're not selling them any longer, and we're not able to.
So you're not able to sell them at that time unless you ask to be selling them?
No, they're filed as no longer for sold. They're filed as we do not sell or market them any longer. They're essentially closed to new enrollment, with the exception of anyone who may have a qualifying event. So they may add a spouse or dependent due to a certain qualifying event based on
I understand.
OBRA guidelines.
And you're saying that there's not a mechanism to open that, to sell?
If we decided to at a later date open them up, which we would not, that would be, we would have to file them with the state at that time to open them back up. And in most of the cases, these are plans that were opened back in like 1989 that have been closed since the early 1990s.
Okay, and so what you're talking about is plans that at one point the state has given you permission to sell, but as far as the state is concerned today, those are products vis-a-vis your relationship to the state over that product, it cannot be sold.
That is correct.
I actually think that this is a different way of saying what the last question was, and so she probably wants to, you know, kick through the telephone, like, oh, no, I got the answer I wanted. I have to tell you, I am going to take this question back and figure out a way to get the answer out to everybody.
Okay. Because I think, you know, a lot of us have a lot of the plans.
Right now, okay, is if you are licensed to sell that product and in the state's eyes you can sell that product, whether you are or you aren't, that's what we want to know about.
Okay. Yeah, because we have products that we do sell, and they're filed to sell to the open market. But we also have products that we do file a contract with annually, but we do not, they're not offered to be sold any longer. We file a contract because we have current membership still enrolled in them, but they're not marketed or sold any longer. They're closed.
Yeah. So I have to tell you, I think that this is going to be problematic because, you know, one of the things that's going on here is, we have a lot of policy interest in defining the universe, and one of them, for example, are these medical loss ratio policies that will come into play, which I'm sure everybody is really excited about, and if we don't know what the universe is, then I think sort of establishing the necessary data entry system that we need for that is going to be a problem because even if you're not selling those products, you can be, you know, modifying, you know, you're basically submitting forms, filings for those products today, right, because you still do have membership.
That's correct, and they're part of what we would file as our rates and our medical loss ratio and such, right?
Right, right. So this is why I think this is really a tricky question. I think that what people should take away from this call is that if you have enrollment in a plan and the state allows you to sell that product, that you should be submitting this to us. That should be the what people are taking away from this. And even if, well, there's two dimensions of this. If you're allowed to sell a product, we need you to send it to us whether you're selling it or not. And then to the extent that you've got enrollment and plans that today you're not selling, you need to submit that as well. I think what that leaves is things that you've filed with the state that the state doesn't allow you to sell vis-a-vis your filing, and there's no enrollment. But I am going to get back to people. And would you all like me to – is it helpful for me to restate what I just said? Or should we just wait? I'll get an answer out to everybody.
I think the follow-up answer would be great.
Okay. And would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Would you send me an email? Who are you again?
My name is Rick Henshaw. I'm with Group Health Cooperative out of Washington.
Would you send me an email, Rick, and I'll tell you my email address again. It's Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, dot DeCaro, D-E-C-A-R-O, at cms.hhs.gov. Send me your question, and, provide whatever, detail you can. And I will use that as a basis for getting an answer out to everybody, okay?
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Our next question then comes from Steve Sindrich. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really a two-part question. First is for products that the state allows us to sell, for plan writers, relative to the product information worksheet, what do you want carriers to do with things like maternity riders and supplemental accident riders, especially as if they were conditional for sale with a specific plan type? And the second question is,
don't go to your second question yet.
Okay.
Let me see if I understood your first question. So you're saying, I'm using my word product, that there are riders to this product, and you're asking for every one of those riders, is that a different product or is it the same product? Is that what you're asking me?
No, actually, I'm assuming that product is product, so that would be a product. I want to know where in your product information worksheet we have to put it.
Yeah, we're not collecting that information now.
So it's not all products. Okay, got it.
Okay,
part two was, when would you anticipate we'd get information about the requirements due in October?
Yeah, this is going to be really a big challenge for all of us. So, and I honestly, I just want to reiterate what I said in the beginning of this call. People need to be sure that they're communicating with us about, their ideas, their thoughts, their concerns, and what have you. We are going to be operating under a really tight timeline. We intend to be contracting with an IT contractor that has an existing pricing engine in late July, because we have to go through a full and open competition for this. And between the end of late July and early September, folks will have submitted this benefits and pricing information for all the plans that I described under the definition of all. And I can give you more details about the timeline if you want, but I guess that that's sort of enough.
Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question then comes from Galen. Go ahead, Galen.
I know what I didn't answer. Excuse me. So you were saying, when would you get information about what to submit? So let me say a couple more things. So the regulation talks in sort of concept about what it is that we're planning to provide, and the data collection PRA package provides a little more information about the categories of services that we would intend to collect information about, and cost sharing and rates. And you can find both of those documents on our website, but you can't tell by reading that data collection package what the exact variables are and the exact format, what have you, on the benefits and pricing information, because we have to know what the contractor's data collection template is to give you that information. Having said that, I think that you can be assured that our expectation is that we're collecting comprehensive information. And I can go more into that, or you can ask me some specific questions if you want to.
Just a moment. I need to find his line again. I've already cleared it. One moment. Steve?
Yeah.
Yes, you have an open line again.
I don't have any other questions, guys.
Oh, okay.